Has anyone ever told you something so outrageous or so unbelievable that you thought you couldn't believe it unless you saw it for yourself? Have you ever seen anything that was so unbelievable that it was scary? If so, then you can understand how the disciples felt after they saw the risen Jesus in the readings that we just read from Luke 24, 36 to 48. Can you hear the comments between the apostles? Who are you? What are you? Is he a ghost, a spirit, or maybe a trick? All said with fear, questioning, and unbelief. The disciples did not immediately believe. After seeing the resurrected Christ, they had advanced their thinking to great joy, but the truth is it had not created faith in their hearts. Perhaps it still seemed too good to be true. He had told them he would rise. This detail alone should end the questioning, but it would take time. The disciples desired so much to see Jesus alive that they made themselves believe. But belief in what? In fact, even when they saw doubts arise in their hearts, they needed to see that being with Jesus was perhaps the metaphor for being with God. He signaled the coming of the reign of God. How many of us have been in a similar place? Did you ever see a lost one? I'm talking about somebody that passed away. Later on the street in a store, it's kind of grief raising its head, and it happens. I remember when my dad died, I saw him a couple times, and it kind of raises your heart rate. It's kind of scary. It's just a mistaken identity because of grief, and you know it, but it can raise your heartbeat. Jesus is with us when we walk in disappointment, grief, or in hardship, just as he was with the disciples. Luke wants to make it clear to us that our real physical world is so valuable that God came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. He came to heal our physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional needs. He continually meets us in this world, especially as we gather around the Word of God. Jesus explained to the disciples why he died, why he rose, and what happens next. But Jesus' own words carry the most weight. Jesus said this, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance, forgiveness of sin, is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things." Okay. The disciples were the first witnesses. But through the power of the Holy Spirit that we now have because Jesus sent the Helper when we first believed, all believers are the custodians of the truth. The apostles received the Helper, the Holy Spirit, at Pentecost, which I believe is May 19th, I think. I looked it up. The Spirit is a present power in our lives that we should be very thankful for. We are being healed, transformed, liberated, and sent on missions because of the supernatural God living in us and among us by this Spirit. What do you think would have happened if Jesus had not made his presence known when he died? Did perhaps the disciples would have given, let me start that again. Perhaps the disciples would have gone back to whatever their lives were before. Jesus called them. He reminded them that his coming was for peace. He invited them to see for themselves that it was him in the flesh and not a ghost. He told them to stay put and wait for the power that was to come. Luke emphasizes the reality of Jesus' resurrected body and the need for Jesus' death and resurrection to fulfill God's plan for our salvation, salvation for all who accept this story in their hearts. Bit of history. Jewish history. Jewish folklore believed the spirits of the dead appeared to mortals only to engage in evil activities. When Jesus suddenly appeared in the small group of disciples, it was truly a totally frightening supernatural event. Jesus spent time with his disciples, summarizing his ministry, especially the Old Testament prophecies. He prepared them to continue his work after he returned to heaven. He laid out exactly what their message after he left the earth should be about. He gave them the courage to speak publicly on the street corners in Jerusalem at Pentecost. And that speech led thousands of Jews into Christian faith in a very public baptism, written in Acts 2. The disciples had the mission and the power to change the world, and using our heartfelt faith, so do we. The baptism is the coming of the Helper, the Holy Spirit Jesus spoke of. Jesus and the risen Christ are the same. The only difference is that the body of the risen Christ is different from his pre-resurrected body. To explain, it is fully healed, strong, and not subject to death and decay of the flesh. Jesus presented himself to the disciples not as a disembodied spirit, but as a person in bodily form. His body was recognized by the sight and touch. His body was capable of eating food. Does that mean that when we go to heaven, we will be able to eat food? I have no idea, but maybe. I actually never thought about that, but now I kind of think about it. Just like Jesus was raised from the dead, we will be raised according to the scriptures. Okay. I think this comes from Acts. I kind of stuck this in here. After the resurrection, I'm speaking of the resurrection, our bodies will be changed. So if there is something that you cannot do well anymore, or you have pain, don't worry. Your body will be raised and it will be changed and you will be fine. Remember how Paul explained it in 1 Corinthians? Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised from imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on an imperishable body, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Luke reminds us in verse 44 that Jesus came to satisfy all the prophecies made of him throughout the Old Testament. Everything that was written about Jesus in the Bible was fulfilled. Well, let me clarify that. Everything that was written about Jesus' life up to and including the resurrection was fulfilled. They needed to understand the significance of the past. Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament, not to abolish it. We, like the disciples, can't understand life after resurrection, but we know that resurrection is God's plan for us as believers. Jesus died for us to forgive our sins and rose and lives at the right hand of God. Jesus is the model for God's plan. The resurrected Jesus was no ghost. He explained the scriptures to the disciples, especially the scriptures dealing with resurrection. The disciples were physical witnesses to this resurrection, and we are witnesses through the risen Christ, through the scriptures. We are witnesses when we come to church. We are witnesses when we come to the Lord's table to receive communion. We are witnesses when we do kind acts for someone. We are witnesses when we invite a friend or neighbor to church. We are witnesses when we do things like teaching a Sunday school class, sponsor a youth group, sponsor a senior luncheon, hint, hint, sponsor a community dinner, or sing in the choir, or serve as an usher. We are witnesses when we do for others, and we do for God. And just to add one more, we are witnesses when we get up in the morning and decide to let God guide us through that day. I know we all have our schedules, practice, habits, etc. When we connect with our Lord, I am sure that is very important to each of us. I have a mantra I say every morning, and you may help me finish it if you know it, and I'm sure you do. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, okay? Pastor Sharon gave us one a couple years ago at Christmas time. It says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. I pull that one out once in a while, just when I need a little uplift. Here's some homework. If you don't have a mantra, If you don't have a mantra, you can get one of your own or something, just when you put your feet on the floor, just to say, to connect you with the Christ. I have one more witness statement, Acts 3:12-19. Peter witnessed and called the crowd out on it. I am reading Acts 3:15-19, but only parts of it, not in its entirety. You killed the author of life when God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. Now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer, repent, and therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. Isn't that a great sermon? And I think Peter said that with a lot of heart. Nothing fancy, just plain truth. Your sins put Jesus on the cross, but God raised him from the dead. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. We weren't with the disciples at that first Easter evening. Of course, we were not blessed to be witnesses to these things in the same way they were. We didn't get to see the risen Christ, to touch him, and to have him open our minds to scripture. But these first disciples shared what they learned. They opened the minds of others, and what they learned was eventually written down, and we were blessed to be able to read these inspired words and to have our minds opened also. We are blessed to be invited to turn from whatever we are placing our hopes and trust in, and to place it in our risen Lord, Jesus. And then, of course, we should go and bear witness to these things, to proclaim the messages, this simple, clear message that Christ died for all, that Christ was raised again for all, and that Christ will come again for all. Thanks be to God, and amen.